notes too if you want to go back and read any of the chapters or listen to any of the sessions that you missed. So tonight, last week we did Why Study the Bible. Tonight we're on studying the Bible prayerfully and obediently. Sounds pretty obvious, but it's not really. So did I've seen a few nods already. Most of you got a chance to read the chapter. And don't fall kind of back to school, etc. Time is not the easiest time of year to try to keep up on stuff like this. We understand it's okay. No condemnation. Jump into the discussion no matter what. The first question after, and I thought it was funny, the first page or so discussed some of the different methods there are to reading and studying the Bible, which we actually talked about last week, and I emailed out to you guys that were kind of results of our conversation. Some of the different ways or methods that people use to choose. Did you enjoy that? I even included the drop your... You didn't? Okay. That's a check. Check to make sure that I included you in that email. Okay. So we sent out the different ways, including Joe saying that he would drop his Bible open to see, which was the most humorous of the options we talked about last week. So let's jump right into discussion. Describe your experience of studying the Bible. What approaches have you tried? What has been effective? What has been ineffective? What have you learned in the process? So the first page here, just talking about different approaches to studying the Bible. Who wants to jump in first?
I'll do it. I think that having some sort of structure to it is good for me. Like, I think that not having a structure has definitely not worked for me. Like, having a schedule where I say, okay, I'm going to read it in the mornings. But at the same time, if I can't have it be too structured, or else it just becomes a checklist. So I think just being structured enough where I know where I'm doing it, but also doing it out of love and not out of structure. I also think that reading it again or praying later in the day has definitely helped, because sometimes I just read it and go on with my day instead of like going back to it or just not having, I guess, yeah, checklist. Not having it be a checklist, but having recurring thoughts or prayer throughout the day to be reminded of God and who we're following.
That's good.
Well, my experience with studying the Bible is that I get to know about different people's lives, how they handle situations, how they stay focused. Because you don't hear every minute of their lives. You know, you're going to people to the bathroom or to the market. You know, you don't see that. But you know that in there, they've done some wrong, they've done some good. And like I said, I have people, they get on David for the situation with Bathsheba, you know, but if somebody, you know, broadcasts out a situation with somebody, you know, that will really hurt. So, you know, it helped me not to be judgmental on people in that. And what approaches I have tried was, I tried starting from the beginning to read, going through it, and it got boring. And then I tried, like, starting at the New Testament to read through, and it was more interesting that way. Because I felt like I could relate to New Testament people better than I could relate to the Old Testament people. And I don't know why I felt that way. But that was like my different approaches. So, and then another approach I had was that as I read, and then if it referenced to something, I could try to look for that what it referenced to. And that helped me to understand situations more. And another approach was looking at who wrote it, what the dude was trying to say, or ask it a female.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
what the person was trying to get across, what they were feeling, and but still I'm like confused at the Psalms and the Proverbs, because it's like different people wrote these different things and stuff like that, and I would like to know like who wrote it and why and all that, and that's what thrills me about Ecclesiastes. I love that book. Because it's simple, and it's not stuff that, you know, it's stuff you see every day, but you really don't look at and pay attention. And it says what effects it had on my life and what has been ineffective. The effects it had on my life is, like I said, making me love these people's lives more and all. And when I see things, it helps me to understand. And we went to see Jonah, and Jonah said something. Jonah said, it is what it is. No, but like, so when people tell us, I said all that because it's a joke between Lisa and I, because we went to see the thing Jonah, and I'm following it along with the scriptures, and the thing is, it's a story. They're trying to tell a story. They stick with the scripture, and then they, you know, add a little bit to it. And Jonah said, it is what it is. And I'm saying, like, golly, way back then, Jonah said, it is what it is. So I always joke with Lisa about that. But it helps me to understand, like, the different stories when people tell things and say things, and help me to get it together. Because it's easy to get it mixed up, you know, with other stories, because we're really not familiar with these dudes. You know what I mean? These people at all. So we're not familiar. So it's easy for me to get it mixed up. What have I learned in the process? I learned to love it and to keep reading more. I mean, it's, the more I read, the more I learn, and I tell you, it's wonderful. And it's like the Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun. I'm telling you, all this stuff. We just read in the Bible where they asked the sons to give up their earrings. You know, even back then, boys had earrings. We think it's something new.
Right.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I love it.
That's good. Daniel?
From my experience, I've always found it good to, one, come to the Bible with questions. Not specific questions, but I'm looking for something that comes to the Bible out of, that's what really helped me study. I come to the Bible as if I want something. I want to know God, or I want this from, not as in just getting something from God, but I want to know this about God. But I don't look for certain things, and that's what really been helping me study, because it's not about what I'm getting from God, it's about what He's giving me. And I like somebody said about structuring the reading. I've just got into, because I'm in college, I'm learning how to schedule. I don't like the schedule Bible reading, because I don't think it's like reading any other book. It's not homework for me. It's what I need and want to do. So I'm not used to scheduling it, but I found a way to do it without making it ritualistic. I schedule it. It helps me also studying. I don't put a boundary or a time limit on it. Like, we just came from Bible study, and a lot of the question that I get is, when does Bible study end? And I mean, they kick us out at 4 o'clock, but it doesn't end until the conversation ends. Like, we have a discussion, we get up when we get up. You know, whenever God says we should stop. So that's the way I look at it. Just studying the Bible, not as a textbook, but as a living resource. And the third one also helps me study the Bible is not really necessarily reading, sometimes reading the words, but studying people who study the Bible and how they live, how they act. Like, I live with some of those people. My family is some of those people. I would study, not study them, take notes. But
who are we in the Bible? I'm scared.
No Jezebel.
Judas.
No, the lifestyle, and I would see them do things, and I was like, wow, that looks like a character of God. I haven't seen it in the Bible. Then I would go to read my Bible, not looking for that, then find it in there. I'm like, wow, God, you must have wanted me to see that. I wasn't looking for it, but you gave it to me anyway.
That's good.
And, you know, he's did that to me today. He did that to me like, many times. So that's why I was going to study the Bible.
That's good. We talked about this question a little bit last week on our own, spontaneously in discussion, but does anyone else have something, maybe what did work or did not work that you want to contrast?
Well, I have the issue of devotionals, and I think I've had a very, it's been an up and down relationship with those books, and so there are times when they work and other times when I just like toss it aside and like, I'm just going to do my own thing, so I think that'll be... So yeah, I'm in the phase where now I don't really have. I was doing this, you know, every periodically I always do like the written Bible in the year, and this time I was doing this with this book that had a daily like blurb, like a one pager with every four chapters, and I just got sick of reading that one page every day, and I'm still reading the Bible through the year, and it kind of, you know, but I'm not looking at the book anymore because. So yeah, I think sometimes those are effective, sometimes they're not, and also I guess obviously the heart got it in there. So, and other approaches for me would be, like someone said last week, basically, you know, if you let it go explore a certain part of the Bible you've read before, and you want to, you know, feel encouraged by the story of Nehemiah, or like by, you know, some, you know, so yeah, those are kind of like pieces I kind of go through.
I know this is off subject, but just out of curiosity, how many of you, let's just say in the last 2 years, have read some sort of devotional book? Not scripture, some other type of book. Okay, that's good. That's interesting. I definitely encourage you, particularly if you feel the need to kind of temper, if you're struggling with scripture, or you're just in a place where you need to feel fresh wind in your sails, so to speak, to really balance whether you get something that's new, and by that I mean written by somebody that's still alive, with something that's older. You know, so whether it's My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life, Andrew Murray, With Christ in the School of Prayer, anything by E.M. Bounds or Tozer or, you know, some of those older works can be excellent. And they are the kind where you will want to read a page maybe once a month and not anything else in the book, because they can be deep, they can be rich, and they can breathe fresh life. They can be helpful. So I'm always open to making suggestions for anyone or sending any references, you know, as far as that goes. And some of you know I loan books out too, you know, so.
So you can fit another one onto your
shelf. Yeah, yeah. Wait, now I can buy another one. Like Charlotte trying to kill fish. So now we can buy them. So from the following paragraph there, on page 110, obviously we should read the Bible carefully, paying close attention to exactly what God is saying, and then wrapping up this paragraph. In other words, we should be, quote, devoted to them. When God speaks to us, we should be quick to listen, eager to absorb everything he tells us, and we should enjoy the process. So they pose a question here about enjoying reading the Bible, and they talk about Psalm 119, which is this poem based on every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the whole theme of which being about and enjoying the Word of God and different aspects of enjoying the Word of God. Wrapping up right before question number two, we need to let God's truths saturate every aspect of our minds, hearts, and lifestyle. Just like this section, this thought of And we talk about our devotions, and what does that really mean? Reading the Bible devotionally, the thought of devoting ourselves to God's words. Now, one of the biggest topics really in the chapter is prayer and reading the Bible. How many of you were struck by that? All right? Prayer and reading the Bible. So, just at the top here from prayer and understanding, Christians often talk about praying and reading their Bibles, but we don't hear much about praying while reading the Bible. You hear me often refer to John quoting Jesus in talking about the Holy Spirit and why he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is here to guide us in truth. Jesus using that living word truth, which is almost, you know, really self-referential and referring to the gospel itself, but also the scriptures, the revealed word of God. But if the Holy Spirit's going to be involved in our life and involved in our life with the scriptures, we need to be asking and continually asking, and not power reading the scriptures. I mean, it's okay to, like, you know, you hear me refer to, I'm on a chronologically reading through the Bible, on a read through the Bible in a year program right now. And when I'm doing that, especially in certain sections of the scripture, which I have spent years of my life studying in some of these Old Testament books, I can power read through it at times because I'm getting a 30,000 foot view of it. But there are times where it's like, hit the brakes, you know, pump the brakes here, stop. What was that word? What was that phrase? That's where, you know, the psalmist have the Selah, you know, stop, think about it, consider it, what's that? And then the Holy Spirit can lift that word out to us, reveal it to us in a unique way, that rhema, right, where it can kind of come to life. Well, that rhema doesn't happen to you without prayer, except for once in a great while when you want to be like Saul and get knocked off your donkey. But as it relates to our relationship with the scripture, it takes that prayer. So let me just ask the question that's here. Well, let me make this statement right before question four, and then I'll ask question four and get some responses. If our Bible study is not saturated in prayer, then we're not studying the Bible the way God intends. That made me stop. The scriptures are full of the wisdom of God, and we are absolutely dependent on the Spirit to reveal that wisdom to us and establish it in our lives. So the question here, in practical terms, and this is what I love about this book, let's make us think and respond, right? In practical terms, what does it mean to study the Bible prayerfully? What can you do? So you need to answer this question with, this is what I can do. What can you do to build prayer and dependence on God into your study of the Bible?
Something one of my seminary professors that I really respected always talked about was mousing over. Because you know how, like, when you're on the computer and sometimes you hover the mouse over a spot for an extra couple seconds and a tooltip pops up, like, more information or kind of deeper insight into the thing. But it was... Use that and talk about, not powering through it, but just pausing and sitting with a verse or a phrase or an image or a scene or whatever, and really giving God time to give you insight into it. And along with that, letting God kind of fire your imagination. Especially, like, I took a class with him on the Gospels and one on the Gospel of John. And, you know, and since those are narrative, it's a lot easier. Or it's kind of like, it makes more sense. But just letting God kind of bring to life what was going on. And just to kind of let your mind just even wander a little bit or think through, you know, who's there and what are they feeling? How did they get there? Why are they there? Like, what do they care about? How are they hearing this? You know, from all the different angles, and the Pharisees there, and, like, downtrodden towns, both different disciples, and there's actually a whole lot there to put yourself in the middle of.
That's good.
Oh, I thought you said something. You wasn't asking.
I think one way you can do it in a Bible study setting is the best, like, prayerful Bible studies that I've been a part of have been, like, Lectio Divina style, and that creates space for people to, like, pray and then, like, move in whatever direction the Lord leads Bible study. And then also, like, individually, I think that the Lord wants to, like, have access into every aspect of our life. So even asking the Lord before we open the Bible, even before, of like, okay, Lord, good morning. Like, what do you have for my day? Like, how do you want me to be in the Word today? And then, like, what in the Word do you want me to do? And, like, you know the verse in Philippians 4 that's, like, by everything with prayer and petition and with mm-hmm. thanksgiving? So every day, like, it's one thing you can do to, like, carry it through your day and, like, carry out that prayer through the day from the Bible reading is, like, looking at your Bible reading and seeing maybe, like, a characteristic that is pulled out. And, like, what is your prayer for the day? Maybe it's to embody that characteristic. So maybe it's to be courageous or something. And then the petition of, like, Lord, I need your strength to be able to be courageous. And then just a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for being the God that lives in me that can give me that strength. And I think that's a cool way to carry that prayer into the day.
And just to, Lectio Divina style is when, like, let's say we're reading a chapter. We had it where two people read it out loud to different people because people read things differently. Then everybody reads it to themselves. And just silently and, like, prays about it, and then we share what stood out to us from that passage. That's what we were doing in college with. So.
What was the phrase you said?
Lectio Divina. It's, I think,
it's just a way of studying the Bible
Latin.
That has, like,
it's Latin. Yeah, I think it's Latin.
Okay.
Divine something.
Okay.
Divine reading, I think it's what it is.
I remember, I remember that I was in church on Sunday, and you said something about you was encouraging us to pray the scriptures, and I never heard that before. I was like, wow, you can do that. Like, wow, it's really the game. And I didn't know. So I didn't say, like, oh, Pastor Vince said this. I should do this. Like, no, I was like, because when I started, it didn't really, like, hit me that you actually said that. But I started to do that, and that has been, I know it's kind of different because I'm not praying while I'm reading the Bible, but it's a Bible scripture that God brings back to my remembrance, either while I'm reading or while I'm walking around. And it'll be like, I'm losing focus, and, you know, God, I pray that you'll help me keep my mind stayed on you, because if that happens, you'll keep me in perfect peace and stuff like that. And just believing the scripture wherever, it helps me to believe when I speak it in my prayer. A big scripture that sticks out to me is John 8:36, and Jesus says, anyone who is set free by a son is free indeed. And that's like an emphasis on freedom made by Jesus Christ. So whenever temptation comes my way, I'm like, not just say the words, but, like, believe it in my heart and mm-hmm. pray it to God. Like, thank you, God, that you've already freed me. Sin has no power. And then, you know, like, just don't sin. Like, it becomes easier not to give in.
Yeah.
So I see that praying the scripture, it's a big help.
Yeah, praying the scripture is one aspect, and praying while you read would certainly lead to this. One of the ways that we take that is today's English version translation of 1 Timothy 1:18, I will let these words be my weapons as I fight. or Paul is actually saying to Timothy, let these words be your weapons as you fight. It's just one of many scriptural ways we can pull a suggestion that we pray the words, not the least of which Jesus' instruction to the disciples with the Lord's Prayer, and then his following that with the story about praying without giving up, and so on. But praying the scriptures is definitely one of the most powerful things that you can learn to do. We have some scriptural prayer cards that we've banded about, I've given to most of you already, or we, you know, can email you some of them, but as a way to just, this is the topic that I'm on right now. Like, I just gave Ron the one on healing, and here are some of the scriptures that when I don't know what to say, I'm going to pray. And recently, both in when I was preaching on worship and when I was preaching on healing, I talked about this a little bit, where when you don't know what to say, building a case to God in your prayer and using the, I think it's coming from Daniel's backpack, using the scripture and your past experience to say, God, this is who you are, or God, this is what you have said, or God, this is what you have done, and so I ask you for this. You know, using that as another way of asking.
Oh, really? Okay.
Does that make sense? Anyone that wants to learn more about praying the scriptures is certainly, you know, Rebecca and I are certainly happy to help you with that. It's huge. So, going back, so Ben talked about pausing, you know, just stopping in order to exercise the discipline of praying while you're reading. With what both Jamie and Malia said, we have the idea of it requires a little bit more time for you to do what you want to do. Right? So, anyone else? This question. In practical terms, what does it mean to study the Bible prayerfully? What can you do to build prayer and dependence on God into your study of the Bible?
Well,
go for it. You're good.
Okay. Well, the way I look at it is that I believe that the Holy Spirit can understand. So, when we have Bible study, we pray before and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and give us understanding. As we reading, and something will come up, or somebody will say something, you know, I would say, God, help me to define, so to help. So, and you know, sometimes it'll come up, like last Friday, Daniel came in, and Daniel started talking about the scripture, and he said, well, look, I'm gonna read it. So I stuck my finger in the Bible, flipped it open right to the chapter. I mean, it wasn't nothing to be planned or anything. Do that. It wasn't nothing to be planned or anything. So I look at that as the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, because that's what He wanted us to know and to emphasize it and to let us understand it. Because I believe God uses our life to explain things to us, our experiences and stuff like that. We go through different experiences, and we should thank God that we do, because they help us to understand things differently. So as we reading, as we talking about the scripture, you know, we in our heart we're praying, God, help me to understand this. Help this person to understand it, or help me to say the right words so that this person can understand it. Because, you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to give us the understanding. You know, not the words that I say or anybody say. You know, that the Holy Spirit's going to do it. So that's what we do. And they said, and I laugh, because sometimes while we're going through this, they say, come on, let's pray. And then I'm like, okay, let's go get started. Because I'm, you know, I'm thinking of tasks. And,
right.
You know, that's wrong. But Lisa is like, okay, let's go to the throne of God first.
Yeah.
And then we can go into that, you know. So,
that's good.
It's good she's with me.
She's got the good idea.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think one of the things I like to do is before I open the Bible, is to say, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, you know, show me what you want me to show me. But I don't stop there. And I think this is really kind of when I get the best out of the Bible, is like this, when I pray through and I really, it becomes a conversation between me and God when I look at this and I say, okay, if the Bible is what you say it is, if you're not a liar, and this is your inspired word, and you didn't put it together haphazardly, that there is a plan and a system for this, then each of these words have a meaning. So as I'm reading, I'm saying, okay, well, God, why is that in the past tense? That doesn't make sense. Why is it past tense? Or why did you use this word? Why did you use that? Why? Okay, now why did you change tenses? We've gone two verses, and now we're from past to future. So something, there's a shift somewhere. Why? What happened? What makes this different than this? And it's in those times, I think, that I get, I mean, you know, you really listen, I can hear and get the most revelation, because it's a constant communication with God. I say, okay, God, why did you do this? I can't understand. I don't understand why you did that. I've read it. I feel like I'm pretty educated. I should know, but I can't tell you why. What's the distinction here? And some of it, and it's really helped me, because some of it is an English translation from original Latin or original Greek or, you know, whatever. And something gets lost, and I don't have the education or the backstory to say, okay, well, when in English they say this, what they really mean is this. But it's those times when I'm not in that constant contact, that's something I glaze over. I just pass through and say, okay, I don't know, you know, someone made a mistake somewhere, it'll be okay. but when I'm in that constant contact, I say, okay, God, why did you say this? Why did you say it this way? Why is the author writing this? This isn't important. I can go in there and I can find either, you know, some of the changes from the original to the English, just the translational changes, but or also just the God revelations. It's like, oh wow, okay, now I understand what you're trying to get at. But if it's not that, if I don't have that constant contact, then it just isn't going to happen.
Yeah. I think about my study in the Word, since I've been off from work, it's actually been awesome. I would just focus on, you know, of course, we pray before I go into the Word. God, show me what it is that you want me to know. And then through that devotion or through that study, whatever it is I've read, and say, well, God, what exactly does that mean? And why did you tell me that? You know, how is that significant for me right now? Or, you know, what do you want to do with that? You know, that's how it's been. But since I've been off from work, it's been, I mean, before then, I would just have a devotion, talk to God, and, you know, and he would speak back to me from time to time. I'd go to work, and I literally am in zone in work. And then when I come home, I may remember what it was that was our conversation in the morning. But since I've been off, oh my goodness, the devotion has been all day, and it has been awesome. So it's been a conversation with God. And then whatever, like I'll say, for example, last night I had crazy thoughts in my sleep, and it was almost as if God woke me up, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sweating, this is crazy. And so my devotion was about thoughts.
Wow. Yeah.
And sometimes I do devotion with Michael Youssef. Or sometimes I don't have a ritual of a specific person that I, you know, read. Sometimes I just go and open up the Bible, and it was just so interesting that it was about thoughts. And, you know, and I was reading Philippians 4. So I was laughing when somebody said Philippians 4. And, you know, and God was just reminding me what kind of thoughts that I'm to entertain throughout the day. And that's what the focus was all day, throughout the day. And it's just, it's a conversation, not just in that study with God, but it's a conversation throughout the day. And he's constantly reminding me of what we discussed, and sometimes how I will interact with other people. You know, so it's almost like he gives me whatever it is that I need to even share with someone else, or just for enrichment for myself. You know, so it's good. You know, devotion. Like I've told you all many a times, when I go to work, I am zoned. Work is just another world, and I ask for the devotion so that I can be empowered to do His will at work. And sometimes work just captures me. And I am so glad to be out of work. I really am for this few weeks. But devotion or time with God and study with God has become all day. So it's, you know, I'm taking this work with me. And people say, you know, you don't have to take the Bible with you. Oh, yes, I will. And yes, I do. Now I'm taking it with me. And from time to time, I don't care where I am. I can be in a public bathroom. And I can sit on the toilet. And I will, I'm sorry, I will read the word because I need to keep my mind.
Yeah.
And he says that. You know, and Ronald and I was even talking about God's, the Bible, we talk about the Bible being God's word. But then there are some messages in here that Paul wrote. There's some things in here that Satan wrote. There's some things in here that other people wrote. But when I say that this is God's word, I read it and it's the heart of God that I'm looking for.
Right.
It's not the heart of Paul. It's not the heart of, course, not the heart of Satan.
Right.
You know, it's the heart of God.
Right.
And I want that, you know, those words to enrich me. Of course, it is very significant when God said, and the Lord said. That is very powerful. But what's even more powerful is, in addition to that, is when God speaks to you out of it. Not the specific words, but the principles that you receive out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's throughout the day. So we should get
that's good.
I just take a very quick example. I think, you know, the idea of being prayerful with our precious dead in the Bible, like Danielle mentioned earlier, you know, giving it time, and, you know, if it means not rushing and going to hear from God, and sometimes it takes some patience and waiting. So maybe waking up a bit earlier to just, like, have that time so you, you know, don't have to feel rushed. But also the idea of meditating on the scripture and chewing over it throughout the day, like Lisa was talking about. So you know, the passages in your mind and you're coming back to it at various points, and what's, you know, maybe at some point, you know, the Holy Spirit continues to give you insight for the rest of the day or the week or whatever. And I also realize it really is a paradigm shift, because it's been helpful for me to just, like, examine other people's lives and see, and I've been really shocked to see some of my Christian friends, other people I know who just, like, totally disregard, like, large portions of the Bible. Like, at least I was mentioning Paul. Like, I have a friend who's like, Paul wrote this. This is not God's word. Like, I'm not gonna, like, this is Paul. Like, I don't like Paul. And I'm like, dude, you know. And so the idea, like, this is God's word. You approach it from, you know, like, God, this is your word. Show me what I, you know, I don't, you know. But so many people I've seen just approach the Bible like, okay, I'm gonna try to use my power and my will to try to get this, and if I don't understand it, then it's not true or it's not right, and I'm just going to skip and go somewhere else or just, like, whatever. And I just see them playing the struggle because it's just that same approach. They're not turn over, you know, this is God's word. I've heard from a bunch of devotion.
Right.
Yeah.
Who was it, which of the founding fathers had his own Bible he cut out sections? Thomas Jefferson? Can't be just cutting out sections. That's good. So the other main thought in this chapter is studying the Bible obediently. It is very, very personal and a whole lot easier for us to point out to someone else when they're not doing it. But the opening sentence here, perhaps the strongest reason for saturating our Bible study in prayer is that we desperately need the Spirit to make our lives align with the truths we are studying. Have you ever tried to get someone else to change their behavior? It's not the smartest thing in the world. God can bring change to their behavior. And if you are in concert with what God is doing in their life and what they are responding to, then you have a prayer of having a blessed experience. But if not, you probably won't. Now, we are called in Scripture, we have that, you know, imperative to speak to other believers and to help them see, but just point that out, that for us, we need to have that personal approach to God. He references Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 8:1, that knowledge puffs up, but love builds. And I love the fact, the paragraph from page 116, if we're not putting what we know to work in our lives, then our knowledge will simply make us arrogant. There's a terrifying irony here your study of the Bible could actually lead you farther away from the Lord. We talked about this last week in the motives. Why do you study the Bible? Do you study the Bible so that you can get better treatment than someone else? And this is hitting on that wrong motive, where there can be mixture. You can have good motives mixed with bad motives. We're human. That's a part of what makes us human, right? That's important, and I thought worth stating. Kind of in the middle here, page 116. We can't afford to overlook this point. If you find yourself studying the Bible without applying what you're learning, then you're misusing the Bible. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to my judgment day and have to answer for that. Misusing the Bible. But it's true. This is a very true statement here. If we're studying the Bible and not applying it to our lives and not seeing change in our lives, then we're misusing it. Pray, obey. That's one of my favorite phrases, pray and obey. Begin enjoying the peace that comes from studying the Bible obediently. It's a decision of your will, right? Jesus instructing the disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Our approach to God, we have to make that. We knew that moment by moment, day by day, we would need to adjust our sin nature to a place of, God, I submit to you. And that doesn't stop when we approach the Scripture. So think through the commands. We're running a little bit short on time here. Let me see which questions we definitely want to end with. Think through the commands that you know God wants us all to be doing. So can anyone fire out a couple of easy ones? A couple of commands from Scripture that are obvious. Yes, Daniel.
You should love one another.
Love one another? Yeah, good. Right? Good, you were listening on Sunday. That's outstanding. To Jesus' words. Anyone else? Okay, so love God with all you've got. Love others.
Practice hospitality.
Yeah, I just read another verse referring to that today. Talking about deacons, which many of you would qualify as a biblical term as deacons, that you must enjoy having people in your home. That's one of the qualifications. That's a good one. Okay, so question 6. Now, evaluate your life in light of these commands, or in light of commands that we know are in Scripture. Take a minute to examine your life in light of what you already know about the Bible. If you find that you haven't been implying biblical truth to your life, then what changes do you need to make to the way you study the Bible? Now, I think for me, like, just take the hospitality thing for example, right? I mean, I'm human, and, you know, I can get grouchy. You know, I'm over 25. And as a man over 25, I run the risk of, you know, starting to get into that, the two old guys that are up in the lot, you know, the balcony at the Muppet movies. Yeah. You know, how'd you get here? I lost a contest. You know, right? So I find that there's certain things that I have to do so that I'm not grouchy when you're coming over. Right? There's adjustments, there's changes. And we've been doing small group. I mean, I've been a part of small groups for longer than some of you have been alive. But, you know, I find that I have to make certain adjustments to my week, to my life, so that I am genuinely happy that you are here. And I am genuinely happy that you're here. But I'm not talking about faking it. You understand the difference?
Yes.
But there are decisions. Like, I need to sleep. I can't stay up and, you know, go through, I don't know, a marathon of Lost on, you know, the web or whatever, you know, all night long. I have to make sure that I'm, you know, am physically prepared. So that would be a change that I know that I need to make to my lifestyle. But what change do I need to make to the way that I study the Bible so that my life has a better chance of doing that? Let me tell you one for the sake of time, and then if any of you have one, you can tell me. I made an adjustment a while back of I do a quarterly fasting and prayer for a day where I go back, and I'll talk about this a little bit on Sundays why it's fresh on my mind, where I have certain scriptures that I go through to try to get a gauge on where am I at spiritually. And what's interesting is that it's like a whole day where for me there's like no social media, no news, no sports, no games, nothing. You know, have a meal with the family in the evening, and that's it. The whole rest of the day is and some of them are just me off by myself entirely, so there's not a meal with the family at the evening, but the whole rest of the day is me, the Bible, pen and paper, but in particular, certain scriptures and prayer to go through to say, God, where am I at? Where's my head at? Where's my heart? Where's my emotions? Where's my passion for you at? And I can tell when I've missed one. Right? A few months go by and I'm getting grouchy, or, you know, just to use that example. It's because I haven't gone through and prayed through those hospitality scriptures and those scriptures that show me the heart that God has for other people and how God feels about serving and how is arrogance creeping in? Is there pride, manipulation, control? Are there things creeping into my... I have to do this. I have to do this. When I'm not doing this, I'm not the person that you know. And, you know, Rachel would tell you, or other people that have lived with us in the past would tell you, that I'm the same person when y'all are gone than I am when you're here. But that's because of a lot of things I have to do by myself between me and God to get my flesh corrected, adjusted, in line with the scripture. Does that make sense? It didn't come easy. I don't like it. Because the scripture... the Holy Spirit uses it like in this, the chapter refers to the passage of like a man who sees his reflection and walks away. It doesn't correct it. You know, I still have the broccoli in my teeth, or, you know, because that's what, when I get alone with God and have, especially for the purpose of where am I at with you, Lord? The Lord will tell you. It will start to come to the surface, and you need adjustment. Well, that was an adjustment that I had to make. I had to say, okay, listen, no matter what, the daily, weekly, monthly, normal stuff that I do isn't good enough. I'm worse than some of you. I needed an additional once a quarter, solid day, no matter what happens, it's just me and God, just to kind of keep my head screwed on straight. Now, Rebecca doesn't need that because her character, she's fantastic. She comes by it naturally. Her, my sister, my mom, they're all like that. But that's something that, an adjustment that I needed to make. I know that's kind of an extreme story, so that's not how you open up a dialogue. I know that doesn't provide a welcoming environment for other discussion. Would anyone else have an adjustment that you've had to make in time reading the Bible prayerfully and obediently? And
well, mine is, I use it as a self-exam. Like, whatever I'm reading, I look at myself, because the one scripture that comes to me, Christ says, don't take the speck out your brother out when you got a mold to yours. You know what I mean? So what Christ is saying is, don't worry about him. You know, examine you. We work on you, and then, you know, everything else will work out. And also when in Chronicles, you know, everyone knows the scripture where God says, if my people call by my name, we'll examine themselves. So God is asking us to self-examine ourselves, work on, mm-hmm. worry about ourselves. And anything else will come around. So I read and I try to look at it and see, am I the servant that Christ is asking for? I mean, because he's asking us to be that servant. Mm-hmm. And then I keep asking, am I that servant? Or am I serving me? Because, you know, a lot of times I serve me, you know, and it's like, okay, God, I understand what you want, but hey, what about me? Can I get this? You know, and I want to stop being focused on that. I want to stay away from that. So I read and I bring it towards me. Like this week I've been in Nahum, reading that. But I've been bringing it towards me. I know he's talking about Elites. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing it towards me. When am I there? Am I there? Am I the type of person where I'm glorying in somebody else's failure? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be that way, you know, somebody failed, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, man, he deserved it, and we shouldn't be that, God don't want to be that, right. God told the Edomites, because you was glorying in their failure, you're going to fail this way, and
right.
I bring it towards me, am I there, you know, is this what I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, because I look at as our lives is we're on a stage. We're looking at the audience.
Yeah.
We don't see the performance. You know, the audience see us perform because your friends will tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
They tell you, they are. You know, but we don't see it a lot of times because we're not looking at the mirror, so to speak. We're looking outward at who we're performing to.
Mm-hmm.
And all their reaction and all their clapping or they said or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at that. So I read it to examine myself so that I can be the servant that Christ wants me to be, in which God is changing me to be, because God started something and he's going to continue.
Yeah.
Am I fighting him? Mm-hmm. You know, or am I going along? You know, and that's why I look at it that way.
That's really good. Our friends at the church downtown called the Gallery call it, they talk about that a lot. They call it on display. Like, people are always watching, always on display. It's good. Anyone else?
Yeah, I look at God, the scripture that in Jeremiah that says, no one can know the heart, your heart, but God, it's deceitful above all things. And, you know, sometimes when we look at ourselves, we might look at ourselves and compare ourselves to someone else and say, hey, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
And you look at someone else that may be even better than you and say, oh my God, I'm horrible. So God wants me to measure myself always up against him and then I see the true reflection. And just like Ronald said, I want to know, God, I am your clay. Why did you put me here? Why did you make me this way? I don't want to spend time trying to perfect myself. And I have done that. And, you know, he's, I think a lot of the not using my voice for 2 weeks, not walking, has been, you know, other people may look at it like, oh, she's done something horrible. What is going on with her? But it has been wonderful learning how to listen to people. I don't know if any of you have ever heard me say, I want to learn how to shut up. And just really listen to people. Stop laughing at me. I really want to listen. I really want to listen. And I mean, really listen, because I know the other person may not know if I'm listening.
Right.
But I know if I'm not listening, because I got so many things going on in my brain. And I might go, hurry up. In my mind, but I want to listen. And that's what God has, you know. He says, okay, I want you to listen to me. And these couple of weeks have been awesome. And so what he's saying to me is, I want you to slow down. I want you to slow down. I'm going to put you back, but at a slower pace. And one thing specifically that's very practical is, well, normal people take lunch breaks. I don't take lunch breaks. I work straight through the day. I might eat a little something, but I work straight through. I want you to fast and take a lunch break, get up and leave the building. And that's specific. I got to take the word of God with me. Take it with me. Take a, workers' comp got me this little, I don't know what you call it. It's a scooter. Do you keep it? A scooter. For a little bit. So I can scoot myself down the street. So, but to just listen, you know, just listen to whatever God needs me to hear. And it's been very good. Also, the people that are in my life, in my family, I see the various struggles that's going on, neighbors, our community. God has been, I've been asking him, God, you have been allowing me to see this, some of this devastating stuff, and it's been very overwhelming. And I know prayer, people say, well, the best I can do is prayer. That's the only thing I can do is prayer. Well, that is the best thing that I can do for you. But I do feel so compelled. I feel like David. I feel like I'm not afraid of anything, and I feel so angry that I want to roll up my sleeves and fix this thing for this person, this family member, or this friend. And God has been laying on my heart to fast, and it's not necessarily from food or from something, like I'm very task-oriented. This is kind of like a fast from work. and really devote my myself and pour myself compassionately. Ronald talked about in Bible study how when we pray, we need to really pray compassionately for people. And that's been something that he's been really speaking to my heart about, to be compassionate and pour out those things that I see people hurting with. And it's been good. It's been good. I wish I could close my eyes to it, because it is painful.
Yeah. It's
painful.
Well, it's right in line with what we're talking about tonight and everything we're doing as a church right now too, because none of us can do what God's calling us to do in our lives without listening. But the fasting is actually a good descriptor for a part of what we've been talking about all night, and that is, how are you going to carve out more time to pray and to ask God to speak to you through the Word, to prayerfully consider the Scripture, if you're not doing something else? Whether it's sleeping or watching TV or goofing around on the internet or your phone or whatever, that is a form of fasting. I'm setting aside time that's holy to you, God. That is the concept of fasting. I'm choosing to not do work through my lunch break or whatever else in order to do this. That's a very powerful principle. It's a good one. Well, I'll just close with a couple other closing thoughts from the chapter, and we'll wrap up with prayer. If indeed the Bible is the very words of God, then those words carry the same authority and power as God Himself. Every promise is backed by a person. The promise is as trustworthy as the person who makes that promise. That's powerful right there. Do we really believe in what God has said? Good Bible study leads to transformation. From page 119... he's referring to Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. The Bible isn't merely an inanimate object that we study and pull information from. It has a life of its own. It acts. It reads us. It pierces to the deepest parts of our being, and it discerns our motivations. Take a minute to consider everything you've thought through in this session. What changes do you need to make in the way that you study the Bible? Spend some time in prayer. Ask God to give you a heart for His Word. Ask Him to help you approach His Word devotionally and obediently. Let's close in prayer. We can enjoy some pie. God, I thank You again that You've revealed Yourself to us through the Scripture, Lord, and that You want us to learn of You. You want to communicate with us, and that's why it exists. It is not that You've sought to make it difficult or confusing for us, but You do want us to be active learners, and I thank You for that. I thank You that we have each other. We're all here to support each other in this, and that no one needs to walk away feeling frustrated or confused or under condemnation privately, but that we can relish in the fact that we're here to love on each other and help each other. I pray that You would help us to encourage each other, Lord, with what we're learning from the Scriptures. And we do pray that You'd send Your healing touch, Lord, to Joe and Anna with this bronchitis, with Chris with his back, and things that have been challenges for Melinda, her family, for Rebecca and the kids, anyone else dealing with, and Lisa, Lord, for her leg and her voice. Lord, I pray that You just complete Your healing work. We thank You for what You're doing tonight in our time together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. It's good stuff tonight, guys. Feel free. Let me know if you want to come for the Ravens game tomorrow night, season opener. If you want to come, I know a lot of you have to sleep, but feel free to let us know. It'll be... You come? Cool. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And then remember, another reminder, where you park in the rotunda, and then a week from Saturday is the Hamden Fest. The toilet bowl races this year will be 2:30.
2:30 on
Saturday. 2:30, a week from Saturday. It's a toilet bowl, soap car, box derby type craziness. You have not seen this yet? We've been doing this the last 3 years. There's so much. I know, seriously, right? Why am I?